Hi, and welcome everybody. We are back with another interview. This is the Drop Holster Podcast, and I'm Tom, your host. And today we have the very, 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 very pleasant and pleasureful experience of Hannah Gillingham. Hannah, how are you doing?
I am good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I feel like it's a long time coming, so thanks.
It has been. I mean, we've been talking some time. You have been on for different occasions here and there. For I think we had you on for a multiple poster one, right? Like a show, yeah. Like a group show.
Yeah, it was Eileen's Female Gaze project. Exactly. That must have been years ago now. I don't want to think which year it was.
But I'm not sure.
Oh no, I think was it early no, because she's year? Done one since. She did on the sheet recently. Yeah.
So it's been a minute for sure, but you have been on also for a solo one, for one of your single pieces, right? That we had like am I mixing this up?
I feel like we had it scheduled and I may have got COVID. Oh, and then it might have not happened. But I'm here now.
You're here now. That's what all that counts, exactly. And we will start the show obviously with what?
Oh no, I was literally thinking about this the other day.
I've completely forgotten. The speed round, obviously.
Oh god, I forgot about this. Okay.
Okay, but it's gonna be fine. You don't have to worry. We're gonna start out easy. And I hope you're ready, but here's the first one. Favorite color?
Purple.
Purple, okay. Nice choice. What's your favorite director or directress?
Oh God, I don't know.
What is in your mind?
The first one that came into my head was Stanley Kubrick.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Are you asking or telling?
I'm telling.
Okay. All right. What is your go-to food?
Oh, chocolate.
Chocolate. Okay. And what is your go-to cinema snack?
Popcorn. Sweet.
All right. Favorite cinema?
There's not many to choose around me, so I don't know.
But you got one where you always go, like, this is my home, View. My resident cinema.
Yeah, I've got my local View. It does the job.
But is there a cinema you actually really want to go to, like in the world, anything?
I'd like to go to the BFI and
you haven't
check
been?
That out. Okay. I haven't been, no. I need to.
Okay.
It's on the list.
So on the list. I have. I remember when I was there. A while back. I think it was before COVID. I think 2019. I was there, and since I was working, because the BFI is also part of the AMC group, I think, in the UK. And so the cinemas here, they are part of the chain I'm working with. They are also AMC. A family. And so when I went there, I was like, hey, I also work in cinema, told her what I do. And I got a little tour of the IMAX there. So it was really nice.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Like she told me all the nice stories about like every time Nolan comes around and basically he has his favorite. And I asked him, where's he sitting? So and then she told me where he's sitting in the BFI for the sound check.
Is that your new favorite seat now?
Of course. Since I know, also in the IMAX here in Berlin, I asked the technician, the actual IMAX technician, where he was sitting when he was calibrating everything.
Oh, so nice.
That's the seat to go, but I'm not going to give it away for the people here, bro.
I'll ask you afterwards.
Yes, yes. Portrait or landscape?
Portrait.
All right.
That was tight, actually. I don't know. Maybe both. Can I say both?
Sure. Sure. Take it. we will check that with your work that you've done. Is the landscape, is the portrait enough? favorite holiday destination?
I don't really have been on holiday in ages, but I'd love to go Ireland. I've got family over there. I need to go back.
All right. Do you have a favorite animal?
Cats.
Okay. I thought you were going to go exotic. Or is it?
No.
Do we include every cat?
No, my cat.
All right, cool. What's the name?
Ziggy. She's got a broken tail, so it's like a zigzag. So that's hence the name Ziggy.
Ah, okay.
It's not a Bowie reference. No.
All right. And what song is on heavy rotation right now?
Can I check? Is that cheating?
Sure. No. It's just remembering, but it's Taylor Swift.
I think it actually might be. No, it's actually Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles. Oh, okay. I can't stop listening to that one.
Interesting choices. And last but not least, what is or what would be the job you would do if you were not an artist?
Well, it still had to be something creative. I got asked this a while ago, and I couldn't think of anything because if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I'm stuck. I don't know.
But
I think it would have to be like graphic design and film, like creating all the props. Uh-huh.
Okay, but
it's still kind of artistic.
Yeah, but yeah. But if you want to be artistic, I mean, there could be a baker person.
A baker person.
Yeah, I don't know. Fancy cakes.
I'm not.
And stuff like that. That's art.
I could be good at decorating the cakes. Probably not making them. Well, you know, no.
Fair enough. Okay. That's it. You survived the speed round.
Cool.
Wasn't too bad, was it?
No. Oh,
there you go.
It was doable.
All right. Then let's talk about where you started out, as we always do in the beginning. We go a little chronologically, as always. And where does the art come from? Where is the mind? Where was it schooled and taught all about the great art you're doing?
Well, it all started back when I was at school, like as in secondary school. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted, it's very like a typical artist story. I've always wanted to be an artist. I didn't necessarily know like what that looked like. I didn't even know what illustration was when I first like started visualizing what my future looked like.
Is it? You sent some images over, obviously. I'm sorry that I interrupt you here, but you sent some images over.
No, okay.
Do we start with that, with the bedroom studio? Is that like from the beginning?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, cool.
Yeah, go for it. So these are really old. These are probably from like GCSE A-level times. So I was just on the floor in my bedroom putting up like canvases and boards against the radiator if it was too big for my desk. Spent a lot of hours painting in that room.
Did your parents, or did you never think about getting an easel or something?
I got one eventually. I got one eventually. But I don't think I had the space for it at the time because this is all in my bedroom.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I think university that I was lucky enough to get gifted a really nice easel for my birthday. And I still have that now. It's not in my studio because, as you can see, I'm in a loft.
Yeah.
So it's the easel is too high. So I've got it downstairs in another room. It's the conservatory, actually. So it's like the perfect lighting for painting. But yeah. I do have an easel.
I see. And is the your artwork, was it more of a passion hobby side, or was it also in like did school had something to do with that in that kind of way as well? Like, did they give you tasks?
Definitely,
these tasks you had to do, Alice in Wonderland here, for example, I think it is, right?
Yeah. So that, I think that was on one of my A-level courses. Okay. So I did A-level photography and A-level, it was actually BTEC art. Mm-hmm. So it covered like everything. It covered photography, painting, graphic design, textiles, you name it, ceramics even. Mm-hmm. But I think that specific project was creating artwork from like either a poster or something inspired by a film. I can't remember exactly. It was quite a while ago, but I just jumped straight into Alice in Wonderland, and yeah, I don't know what exactly I was trying to achieve with that piece. It looks quite like psychedelic.
Yeah, I mean, you got the book there with all the psychedelic stuff, right? Or what was that?
But yeah, that would have been a school project. But outside of school, all I was doing was drawing. Like I'd come home and I'd be in my bedroom just sketching away like random stuff, mainly people.
Yeah. And when did the love for film come in that regard?
I think I've always loved film. I think it took me it really like started to like kick off, and I noticed like how much I was into it when I was at uni. Mm. Because I started paying more attention to some of the like classics, like, and got introduced to more well-known films. Mm. But it took me ages to kind of like make the connection between film and art.
Yeah.
Not, it seems like an obvious combination now. But yeah, once I realized that I could merge my love for film and art, it was like the dream combo. Mm. Because like for me, film is like very closely underneath my love for art and illustration.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I see. And in university, how was this? Was there like any courses that you took in that regard, or how was that?
So my work from like school and uni was very different to what I do now. I didn't really work digitally at uni. It wasn't until after university I started digital art.
Did they stop that? Did they say basically, oh no, you got to do it all analog, or was there like no encouragement in that regard, or how was it?
There was it was quite a broad course. I studied illustration and visual communication at the University of Westminster in London, and it was really good. Like I'm really happy with my experience. I met loads of lovely people, learned quite a lot. But I don't think it was necessarily like pushed or not pushed, because there was like people doing all sorts of stuff. There was definitely some digital artists on my course, but I just didn't seem, I don't know. I think I had it in me, the idea that I wanted to create everything by hand. I wanted to like draw it all myself. And I think I just didn't know anything or much about digital art at that point. It wasn't until like afterwards they were like, oh, by the way, digital art is coming in, and you like, if you want a job, you probably should do digital art. And I was like, oh, great.
Thank you for letting me know earlier.
So I ended up picking it up, and it was actually my first full-time job outside of uni that I learned like the majority of my digital art skills and like how to use Photoshop and stuff like that.
How was this change from analog to digital for you? Like, was, how does it feel as an artist? Because I don't want to knock obviously digital artists in that kind of way, though I hope it doesn't come across for everybody out there like that. But was it, you know, was it hard or was it easier in terms of, you know, doing this kind of work? Or did you feel like, oh, I'm a classical trained artist and all this new kid stuff? Like how was that?
I think to start with, I felt very lost. Like I started off on an iPad. When the iPad Pro first came out, I like grabbed it with my student loan and like was basically experimenting with it. And at first it did feel like I didn't like it, because I don't know if you've ever drawn on the iPad just straight with no like extra surface or protector on it. It is very, you can't really compare it to like drawing on paper. So I was a bit put off at first. As I started to learn more and learn how I could recreate, as I like learned tips on like how to kind of recreate some of the things I like about traditional digitally, it kind of made the change better, if that makes sense.
Easier.
I don't know how to work. Yeah.
And is that like, because I could imagine like, since it's like, they call it the Apple Pencil. And like, if you do like sketches and like, you know, graphite kind of work, is that very similar then at least, or how's that?
It wasn't to start with, but now I've kind of, because I've got like a paper-like protector on my iPad. So you kind of get a similar feeling. I think drawing line work on an iPad is closer to working in the sketchbook than it is on like my Cintiq here.
Oh, okay.
I tend not to do line work on that. I tend to do it either on my iPad or more recently I do it by hand, because I just love drawing with pencil in my sketchbook by hand. Like, no matter how many like little tricks and things I try to like recreate that genuine feeling, I just can't. So I don't think it can be topped.
So are you like the Chris Kohler type when it comes to sketchbooks, or what kind of type are you?
Oh.
Have you seen Chris' episode?
I don't know. I probably have.
It was 3 weeks ago or so, where he has like millions of thumbnail sketches that he's done very meticulously in his notebooks. Are you this kind of person, or you just scribbled it?
I'm a bit of both. I do start off really, really rough. So I have like really bad scribbles. I can show you. Sure. I have one of my notebooks right here.
That's always
they're like you can't tell what it is. Right.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you see what I mean? You can't tell what it is. I can, but no one else can.
I mean, it's but at the end of the day, it's for you.
Yeah. But obviously, when it gets to the next stage, or if I start like the actual line work before the final bit, then it becomes like much tighter and more detailed.
And how did you start out? Like when was the point, or what was the occasion, maybe even when you made your actual first film poster?
So I think it all started when I basically got made redundant from my first full-time job outside of uni, which is what pushed me to become freelance. And I was basically just painting, I was drawing digitally, I was doing all sorts, and basically just trying to get loads of stuff, new work created, basically. So I was pushing out loads of portraits. And I came across this social media challenge on Instagram, which was called Filmtober. And someone I followed was doing that challenge and like trying to get other people to do it. So I did that. So I like every day was creating like a little illustration inspired by different films that I liked. So that was Mulholland Drive, that one. So I was doing like little film studies as well as other more portraits. And then that, I think that was the click where I was like, oh, I'm really, really enjoying like interpreting some of my favorite shows and films with, in my paintings. And then I came across some film posters, and I think the first artist I came across was Freya Betts.
Of course, Freya.
Who obviously has, yeah, obviously has like quite a similar painterly style to me. And yeah, I think I found a tutorial of hers.
Yeah.
And that's when I created like my first poster.
I see. Yeah, and the first poster was then what?
A Portrait of a Lady on Fire was like my official like first attempt. So even though that's my first like official alternative movie poster, it seems to be still quite light. I was anticipating for like my first try to not be so, not to be popular basically, but it seems people still like it, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's it captures the movie in some quite a sense very well. And obviously, Portrait of a Lady on Fire is a great movie. So if you interpret it at least halfway good, yeah, I think you're good, because this movie is well liked and the artwork is even better, in my opinion, than the movie.
Thank you.
Yeah, so great job on that for the first one.
Thank you.
Would you still do the same for this one? Do you think sometimes of coming back to certain posters and say like, okay, now I know what's up, and I would love to do this again?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that way towards a lot of my posters and a lot of my work. And I think
what would happen here?
I probably would.
What would happen here for the portrait?
I'm not exactly sure what concept I go with, but just looking at it now, it does seem quite flat to me. I don't know. You've got me thinking about it now. I probably will at some point have to like
critiquing yourself is not always easy. Yeah, you also turned in some other ones. I'm just going to show a couple here, like 10 Things I Hate About You. I mean, this is a glorious, I would say a glorious Blu-ray cover for the anniversary, isn't it?
I think this was like one of my first like private commissions where someone, like an individual, reached out and wanted a poster commission. So, yeah, I don't know when this would have been now, at least 3 years ago.
Was that printed though?
Probably by the individual, like,
okay.
It wasn't like a group private commission though. It was just an individual, yeah.
I see. And then
so it was in someone's home somewhere.
Oh, that's nice. So people send in the comments, obviously, if the person is watching, please send in a photo of them hanging up the wall. We have this Midsummer piece, which definitely looks like it has been part of the official key art. So, hey.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really dislike this one now.
You
actually.
Do? Why, though?
Yeah.
It's very symmetrical.
I think I might have been a bit lazy.
I feel at ease with this one.
Oh, thank you. No, I think the concept could have been like, it's not a bad concept, but I think I could have executed it better. Mm. But maybe that's another one to add to the list of ones I revisit.
I see. And then we have Moonlight, which is seems more like you replicated this in an artsy style. Is that like because the original posters are like that? Is that what you did here? Or?
Yeah, I think that's how what I did when I first started out, because I think I did a lot of just straight up portraits or straight up scenes from films rather than coming up with my own concepts like I do now. So yeah, it's nice to look back now to see how far I've like come from where I started out.
You can pat yourself on the back. It's perfectly fine. It's also this is also the original one, right? From the original key art they had, or it seems so familiar.
Yeah, I think it is similar. I think I created it like before realizing that, but probably should have done a bit more research.
See.
But yeah, I still quite like this one. I like the way I painted it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I see. And let's swift a little bit away from the poster stuff. But what is some stuff that you've seen on TV or on the big screen lately? Is there anything you want to shout out? This is the stuff you have to watch. I'm going to make a poster for that or something.
Well, I just recently came back from watching, I'm going to butcher the name because I keep forgetting what is it?
Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Let's hear your thoughts on
that. That was really good.
Garvin and I were talking about it.
I really liked it.
Okay. You gotta, see, I'm feeling, I am, and my colleague I do the German podcast with, and only a couple others are in like thoughts of what's going on with this movie. So please try to convince me. What's your take on this one?
I went to see it in the cinema, and I got to say I was a bit numb by the end of it. Like I was expecting. The cinema said there was going to be an interval in the middle, and there wasn't. maybe would have liked that.
3.5 hours.
Because it is quite a long one. Yeah. But I did really enjoy it. I thought that Lily Gladstone was amazing. And I did actually like Leonardo DiCaprio's performance as well. That man doesn't age.
Oh, I think in this one, I don't know if it's the makeup. He looks very worn. I thought of this one, especially with the fake teeth and stuff. It's like,
oh yeah.
That was really weird. It gave me a little bit of the Godfather Marlon Brando feeling, like the potatoes in the mouth. Yeah.
But yeah, no. I think it felt a bit slow to begin with, but when it picked up.
I have to say, the first hour, I really enjoyed.
Okay.
But then it's like, Oh, I mean, technically, you know what's going to happen, even without knowing about the book. But I was interested in the Osage world. I wanted to know more about this. Why is there the regulations? Why is it like, I found it interesting to see the perspective change, white people doing all the servant jobs and Native American people doing the, are the rich people in this case. And I think that was all really interesting. And then it was like, but the next 2.5 hours, it was white people doing bad things, which I have seen way too many times. And I'm a little bit annoyed with this. I understand it from the perspective of looking at all of Scorsese's work, doing like showing American crime in all its facets. But without that point of view, I find it sad. Why didn't he take somebody in to write the script from the Osage Nation? Why was there no director of photography or something like that that could help with different viewpoints? Because I understand Martin Scorsese cannot portray Native American people because he's not Native American. Why not put that in the middle? Why do we see another point of view of like white people treating minorities bad?
Yeah, no, I do see your point. I wonder how long that film would have been if they'd went with that approach. Do you think that it probably would have been even longer?
No, I don't think so. I think it just needs the camera change. For example, spoiler alert again, I said that also on Garvin, on a podcast with Garvin, because he had also the same opinion as you did. So there's this the point when his child dies, the young one, right? We see Lily Gladstone just basically for a second mourning. And then we cut to Leonardo DiCaprio theater school, how to show a scene mourning for like what, a minute or a minute and a half or whatever. And it's like crazy. It's like, why are we not seeing the mother who's actually in pain here, who has borne this child, you know? And this is what I question, like all these perspective changes, you know? And I know white people have been very bad. Why do we need to see the white people doing bad things again? And this is what like takes me off this movie a lot. And wasn't a fan.
That's fair enough. I think maybe the focus on like Leonardo instead of her, maybe that's done, I don't know, maybe it's done for effect to like show how they've been oppressed. Possibly, but I don't know.
Yeah, it is wild. It's obviously a very white perspective mostly. And I think that was, people can say, oh, this is all woke, blah, 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 and stuff like that. But have we not seen this perspective for too many years? And I think there's a lot of Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro playing in that most of the audience like it because they have this kind of standing in. Like, who is to say anything against Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro? And this is my problem. I understand they work well together and that's fine with me. Do it. I totally understand it. But I really love the explanation at the end of the thing with the podcast kind of idea there, but it is hard to see the way it was done. And for seeing all of this, the crime, to put it in the middle, I don't need 3.5 hours to understand what's happening. I don't know if I don't want to say I have ADHD or something like that I cannot pay attention for that long, but like I don't know.
Oh, it was a long film. You know, there's not many that I've seen recently.
But I'm Indian.
Reached over 3 hours.
I'm Indian cinema trained, so there's a lot of 3-hour movies. And also like I don't know, I'm a big fan of Kurosawa movies, and they are also most of the time very long, and there's a lot of slow pacing going on, and I like that. So I thought was it me who was like I don't know, don't understand this, but as it was clear cut and there were no surprises, I think that's what kind of got to me with the length, because.
Yeah,
I don't need to. You don't need to show me the 10th round of her giving the insulin to help me understand what is actually happening. So it's like, don't sell me as stupid. That's my point here. But yeah, so sorry that I maybe made the movie bad for you. I'm giving you my perspective.
No. I can respect your point, and that, I can agree.
Okay. And any other things you've seen?
I was trying to get into the spooky spirit for Halloween. I watched Us because I hadn't watched it.
Okay. So. And how was that?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it, but
better or worse than Get Out?
Get Out, it still stands out. On top.
I think still Nope is my lowest ranked. I think it's Get Out.
Yeah, I watched that recently as well, and I wanted to like it, but yeah, it didn't do it for me.
Understand.
But yeah, Get Out is definitely, I want to watch it again.
See, but this is so what good. I liked, you know, there in these kind of movies compared to Killers of the Flower Moon, not everything is clear cut. And you have to actually think, and I enjoy that, obviously. Like, that movie works within me, and I can work with the movie and stuff like that. So, this is really nice. So, these kind of movies are, in my opinion, higher ranked than it would be Killers of the Flower Moon for me. But yeah, is there anything you're looking forward to? Like, anything you like, oh, this is coming out, I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm a bit, like, behind on new films. So, I feel like... most of these are already out.
You can also say TV.
But see, there's too much to watch.
That is for sure.
I'm like behind on TV shows as well, actually. But film wise, I need to see The Creator. I need to see Poor Things, mm-hmm. as well as Past Lives. Mm-hmm. Those are like the three that I really want to see.
Right. Some good choices. And I'm not going to say anything about The Creator here then.
yeah, please, no spoilers.
Yeah, it's not spoilers, it's just yeah, just close your ears, just watch. But I just checked yesterday, because I think I watched 375 movies or like limited series this year, so it was already a lot.
Oh wow.
But I still want to get to 360 five this year, so I need to do some catching up in the last 2 months, so let's see if I can make that. But yeah, speaking of stuff you enjoyed lately, are there any posters that you loved?
So it's not actually, she said it wasn't actually a poster, it's more like a tribute to Molly, was it Molly?
I forgot her name.
From from Killers of the Flower Moon. That tribute piece is beautiful.
Yeah, it's by
love that.
Laura Raquero.
I'm glad you pronounced it, because I was gonna struggle as well. Yeah, really love this piece. I think it's peaceful.
Yeah, she has done another one like a couple of weeks back for Oppenheimer. That was amazing. So yeah, she,
I don't know if I've seen that.
I think she did, but I'm not 100% sure, but there was some other one that was really great. Also seen that in that kind of style. Then people were like, oh, Laura's back, so that's good to see. But and then yeah, it turned out some nice ones.
Yeah and another good one that I've seen, well, I love all of his works, and I think he's just released or shared some new work.
Yeah, Star Wars recently. One, right? But yeah.
Yeah. Chris Valentine.
He's a good guy.
Because he paints them all in oil paints as well. It's just incredible.
Yeah, go check out Chris. He's been on the podcast as well. You can check him out. Also, as Freya has been, one of the early ones. That was basically... kind of like Hannah now a little bit in the game, starting out, and Freya was starting out back then, and at the beginning of the podcast, I think fourth or fifth episode or something like that she was on, so that was a nice while back. But yeah these are some amazing posters. I really love your choices here.
I think it's brilliant.
And I think this one is
still available. I think available. A bit nostalgic to it as well. Is it?
Yeah, Celador, I'm not 100% sure, but Celador Gallery, they are one of the smaller, newer ones, gallery-wise. They had a Juan Ramos Terminator came out, and now this wonderful Zorro work. And go check it out. There's the chance that you might get a poster from them. Yeah. You want to say something more? I didn't want to interrupt you. Just wanted to promote it. It's a little guy.
I was just going
to
say it makes me feel nostalgic because I remember watching this film growing up when I was younger. Used to quite enjoy Zorro.
Yeah, it was good times, but I don't want to revisit that movie. I'm scared it's not going to hold up.
No, I'm not. There's some films that you just don't want to do that because it's just not worth it, is it? Because you just want to hold that memory.
Yeah.
Then ruin it for yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
But some films, though, you go back to and you watch them and they actually surprise you. Like Pirates of the Caribbean, I went back to watch that and I still really enjoyed it. I was actually like really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I had like, I mean, even with like Blade Runner, like, you know, it's a classic. It's a classic movie. But there's this one scene where he forces the main character to do stuff she doesn't want. And it's like, oh, please don't. And it's like, if you kind of like in this modern world and like not stuck in a patriarchy world, then you should be okay. But yeah, it's tough to see sometimes. So it's hard to watch. But anyways, yeah. Is there anything you would like to see from other artists? I don't know, the Chris Valentine tackle Finding Nemo or something like that.
I'm always happy to see more Twin Peaks art.
All right, big Twin
Peaks. I don't think there's enough. Yeah, there's not enough of it. That's why I'm making my own because there's not enough. We need more.
Did you grab the series by Greg Ruth? He has done the super big Twin Peaks set.
It's amazing. It is. Yeah, I spend quite a long time looking at his website, just going through all those images because they're beautiful. Just some of the like simpler ones as well that are just standalone, like cropped close-up portraits are just,
Alrighty.
Insane.
Alrighty. Then let's talk about not other people's work, more your work, and particularly your workspace. I mean, it's always interesting to see how people work at home. I've seen my monitor set up here. It's like feels like really big. But hey, that's the trick for this recording, for these recordings. And yeah, you also have these images that you gave us. And yeah, this is how you work. You talk about it. I'll show some other angles and stuff. And what do we see here? And this is what, like your own house or what's all about?
So I currently live with my family. I live with my mum, my mum's partner, and my grandma. So there's quite a few of us here. Mm-hmm. Moved back home after COVID happened, but I'm very, very grateful and privileged as well because I get to have my own workspace. This is called the secret room. So when my mum moved in here, she didn't know they had a room in the loft, basically. So it's the secret room. So it's now my little studio space.
Yeah.
So I'm very lucky.
Is it?
But yeah, I've got my desk set up here.
Is it always that clean, by the way, or? I mean, that's a fair question.
It varies. If I'm in the middle of a project, like it looks like a bomb's gone off. Okay. But I did clean it and make it look tidy for the photos.
Okay. I mean, it looks amazing. It looks very inviting and very nice to look at. I mean, I would love to work there.
I've got loads of plants behind me as well.
Yeah, that's coming up in a second here. So yeah. I mean, as you can already see on the office desk, so many plants. Is there enough light? Because it feels like a little, because you can see only the light there in the back. Is it enough light for the plants?
Yeah. So I've had to be quite careful with like which plants are up here. Mm-hmm. So the more hardy plants that can tolerate low light are up here. But I've got one beside my desk that is looking a bit sad. So I might have to move that one because it does get a bit dark. That's why I've got like this light now in the corner to light up my desk space because I've only got the one window.
I see. Yeah. And yeah, you've got some monsteras up there. Like that's one of my favorite plants.
Yeah,
it's so jungly, right?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I recently like adopted another one. And it's massive. It's in my bedroom.
But they're spreading so fast, right?
Oh, I know. They just keep growing. So I can't repot them anymore because if you keep like changing the pots, they just grow bigger and bigger.
Exactly.
So I've just had to like keep
it's crazy. And like another friend of mine, she has the Chinese money plant, like millions of them, because like, they're growing so fast and so crazy. That's also very nice to have them.
Yeah, no, I love my plants.
You got a favorite plant? Is Monstera also your favorite plant? Or
yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's got to be the Monstera.
Yeah, I mean, there are different kinds. I also like the one with the white and like the whitish leaves.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
But like cow spots, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they're like much more rare, aren't they?
Yeah,
I can't remember what they're called, but yeah, I know.
I have a fake one in my bathroom, because like in the bathroom there's no window, it's a windowless bathroom, and yeah, that is always like, you know, I need some plants, and there's some green and it looks really nice, but it's the fake one from IKEA.
Yeah.
So, but that stays always the same. And I have like, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks back, I've seen actually one to buy, but I was like, oh shoot, I don't have the
money. How much was it?
It was expensive. It was very expensive. It was yeah, a big one as well. And I think it was like around 100 euros. So it was like very expensive.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. But hey, here we are. at some point there will be this kind of monstera, because I really love it a lot.
You just have to get a baby one and like
let
it grow.
That yeah, but I would be scared maybe that something happens.
It would be
but,
hey, heartbreaking if it died.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so there's a lot of plants. Do you draw inspiration from plants, or is it just to make you feel comfortable, or is it
I think it just feels, makes me happy. Mm-hmm. To have them around me, it just adds life.
Yeah, how
to a space, doesn't it? But yeah, I don't tend to draw them. The only time I've drawn plants is in that self-portrait I did for Eileen's on the sheet.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was just wondering how often do you draw plants?
Yeah, not very often.
Okay, somebody needs to get you on a predator piece or something. Lots of monsteras to draw there.
Yeah, lots of monsteras, lots of foliage.
Exactly. But yeah, so this is where you're working, and now I was wondering how are you working? What is your process on the things, and to maybe what are you working on right now?
So for my process, I've currently like making a little shift in my process, and basically doing some of my line work. Obviously, depending on how much time I have for a project, starting the line work traditionally, pencil and paper, because I feel like it just gives it a complete different quality. For me personally, I feel like I'm much more freer with how I'm drawing, and it looks more organic, if that makes any sense, than doing it digitally. But then from then on, I just take it onto my Wacom Cintiq or my iPad and work digitally. For the rest of it, for coloring and rendering. But starting out, it's always like very rough thumbnails, like you saw earlier, like pencil and paper, for just getting out ideas, because I end up doing a ton, because I try to get the bad ideas out first so I can get some decent ones out. Project-wise, I've just wrapped up a few like bigger client projects with my agent, Jelly, which is really exciting. I can't share anything yet because they're not live, but I'm hoping that I'll have some dates soon and I'll be able to share those, because those were a lot of fun.
Can you say what it is for, at least, like the project?
Not poster related. Okay.
It's brand related, I guess.
Brand related. It's exciting. It's like on a bigger scale.
What are we? Sports?
No, I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay. We don't want you to get in trouble. I tried, though. I tried.
Yeah. I've got one more artwork coming out that was done with the Post Posse. That's going to be released at some point. Mm-hmm. And in the background, I'm currently working on some Blu-ray covers, my first ever Blu-ray covers.
Is that what you also sent through as a work in progress?
Yeah. Okay. So these are very tiny because...
I can't
really share anything, so you can make of these what you will.
Okay, I was saying these are Blu-ray covers. You said, yeah. Okay, because first of all, I was saying, oh, these colors look very Mandalorian. So I thought it's Mandalorian, but I guess not. And then we have this one as well here.
Yeah.
Hmm. This is, yeah, nothing I can make out.
No, I know. I was trying to like take the different snippets from the piece without it giving away too much. So this is what you got.
Okay, people, get your guesses in the comments. Maybe we'll get the right one.
Good luck.
Exactly. All right. And what is something you actually would love to work on in the future? Is this something, I don't know, you want to do editorial? Do you want to do fashion design? What do you want to work on?
It's funny you should say fashion design, because before I did illustration, I actually thought I wanted to be a fashion designer.
There you go.
And then realized I couldn't make clothes. And I was only really good at drawing them. So I thought, oh, what about fashion illustration? Then realized, oh, I might as well just do illustrations. But work-wise for the future, I definitely want to like continue my Twin Peaks portraits, because that's been put on hold due to having too much other like client work, because my Twin Peaks ones are personal pieces. So I want to get back into those.
That one already you posted, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then.
So I've got three out so far. Four if you include my oil painting. I didn't send that one to you. Okay. Yeah. So I really want to do some more of those, because I'm trying to get through the whole of the cast of Twin Peaks. And there's quite a few of them. So yeah, I want to do some more of that. I also want to try and work some more surreal elements into my work, because I obviously work very like representational. So I've started doing that a little bit with my Alice piece, which I sent you.
Yes, so that's the rework from the first one, yeah? We've seen.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was actually inspired by the book rather than the film, because I wanted to basically create my own interpretation of the story rather than relying on images that were already created, or like films that were already created based on the story. So
doesn't James Overt Murad have the book license for that?
So he has a literature collection at More Art. I've actually just done a release for Dracula. With More Art. But no, I haven't done anything with this piece just yet.
Okay. Yeah, but James, James is probably watching anyway. So he will probably let you know book wise if that is an option. That's the variant as well. Mm-hmm. Really nice, really well done. Love the trans.
Thank you. I'm really happy with
it. Love the translucentness of the dress kind of there.
Yeah.
At the bottom. That's really nice.
It was a lot of fun to paint this one.
Yeah. Even like the wings give me a Batman vibe though. Like the logo with the
Dracula and bats. So
hey, yeah. It's not too far off.
No, that's true.
That is true. Yeah, but yeah, really nice pieces. So yeah, maybe thank James you. Is gonna make the Alice in Wonderland work. Looks never really know. Amazing.
Thank you.
And some other recent work you've done, and not only this one. You've done this wonderful Ahsoka piece. But this was with the poster posse for the Disney socials, right? These two lovely people. How do you like the show, and how do you like them?
I loved the show. I went and watched it without watching Clone Wars and Rebels, which I kind of regret. Mm-hmm. I watched a catch up, so I was like in the loop, in the know of what was going on. But I still really enjoyed it without having to have watched those two series. I loved it.
Yeah, I made my girlfriend watch the most important episode, the most important episodes of each, so she understands it.
Smart.
Yeah, it helped. I mean, there's some good some good storylines. Like I think there was even an episode guide, kind of like, just if you want to know Ahsoka, you got to watch this, 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 and that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So we just did that real quick. But yeah, and you also turned out this wonderful Loki piece, which is so Art Deco inspired. And yeah, I just been to the Alfons Mucha exhibition in Prague, and which was very lovely. And this one seems very. I was like, as I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, this reminds me of something.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you thought that. That's good. That's good to know.
Yeah, that's what you were going for.
This is a lot of fun as well. Yeah. This is heavily Art Nouveau. Alfons Mucha, so yeah.
And by the way, if you ever go to Prague, this is a very lovely exhibition. And poster wise if you're a poster fan, you got your heart cut out for you there. And it's like, this is what's up. Also, by the way, I'm sorry, I'm doing little plugs here. In Berlin right now, there's a very wonderful a poster exhibition. It's called The Big Screen. It is a poster show of, it's like starting from 1905, that's the first actual poster they have, from 1905, nice. Movie poster, to 2023, all through the years, every year's movie poster. We have 300 movie posters in that exhibition. All originals, and even our good old alternative movie poster world is set up there. Muragaya has one, and I think
nice.
Lakiat has one as well. That has been set up there as originals, and technically James Jean also has one, because they were asking for the key art James Jean version, but he did send out one of his G Clay embossed prints, so nice. Which is really cool. So so some really cool stuff, and then they have a digital monitor where they talk about alternative movie posters as well. So it's really cool, that they included that because I kind of made them. Yeah. But yeah, so it's really nice. Definitely a worthwhile exhibition if you're in Berlin. Go check it out. It's until March next year. So you're coming or what, Hannah?
It sounds good. I have to look into it.
Awesome.
You know, it's nice to hear that there's like more stuff being shown for alternative movie posters, especially in like in museum spaces and exhibits.
Exactly.
That's nice.
The actual poster ones, the printed ones, for example, Murugaya's screen printed one for Dune, that is actually because like they offered, because they had only a certain budget to buy posters, obviously. And they had the heart of their collection is like the 1950s movie poster, but they also have like, I don't know, Czech posters and all of that. So there's some really cool stuff. If, by the way, people, if and this come should be gone by then, but Hannah, you can watch it right now. I just put it up some images from yesterday when I went there. But yeah, so some really, really nice posters out there for your fans, and like, I think it is inspirational to see actually what kind of stuff came out. I mean, the posters from the 1920s, there's some amazing ones in there. I was like, oh my God, this, somebody needs to pick up. There's actually from a Napoleon film from the 1910-20s or whatever that whenever that was. And this one would have been perfect also for the new one. So it's like, they need to
amazing.
Yeah. What also sounds amazing is probably your answer for this question. Which fine artist would you like to see make a movie poster, and what movie would it be?
So my favorite, one of my favorite painters, oil painters, is John Singer Sargent. Mm. So it's going to have to be John Singer Sargent.
Okay.
And the first film I came straight to my mind when like matching was Barry Lyndon. Mm-hmm.
You want to add something, or
it just seemed like the best match.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes I feel like you're still thinking, so I gave you the break. So I was like, oh, I didn't know if you were finished.
Yeah, no. When I watch Barry Lyndon, I like the majority of the scenes and the stills look like paintings to me. Mm. So yeah, it just seemed like a good match.
So what would you put in the movie poster? It would be the focal point then.
I think it would have to be like a landscape scene, but with I've forgotten her name. I'm embarrassed. Barry Lyndon's wife. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten her name, but I think she would be in there, because I feel like her painted in like a John Singer Sargent style would be
the lady, really nice. Lady Berenson.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, Lady Honoria, that's her name, played by Marissa Berenson. But yeah, so yeah, okay, I see, okay, okay. So that's something you do for the book then? Volume 2? You're in or not?
Oh, if you'll have me, yes, because I was gutted to have missed the first one. So yeah, if there's a volume 2,
it is happening, people. Yes, please. We are behind the scenes, we're working on it, so it might be happening.
Yes, please. Well, count me in if you have me.
Awesome, of course.
Thank you.
And yeah, so obviously this is one of my last questions. So it's your turn now. You can do. Shout out your friends, artists, family. Tell where people can find you. Do any plugs you want. This is your time. Just do whatever you want.
Okay, amazing. I'm going to shout out James, our good friend from More Art. Go check out More Art Gallery. Not just my work at More Art, but all of the good stuff that's going on there.
This is beautiful. Did you like the Sleepy Hollow piece that came out?
Yes, that was really nice, right? I loved it. I hadn't seen it until they went live. I thought that this is like plugging my own work as well.
It's fine. You can do that.
Dracula with Sleepy Hollow, the two of them next to each other, I thought looked really good. So people could buy both.
Do it, people. Do it.
Also like to shout out Nella, George, a.k.a. Ralston, and Eileen SG Posters, because they're just all around amazing people and very supportive of my work, and I think you should go check them out.
Do it, people. Great people. A lot of have been on the show, and some of them will be in the near future, so you better check them out, because they do great work, and they're just even more wonderful people than their work is.
Yeah, I feel like I could have like a really long list of people to shout out, but
this is
going to have to be those guys. Yeah,
it's fine.
You can find me at Hannah Gillingham. If you search Hannah Gillingham across social media, you'll find me.
Got the double M though on Instagram, right?
Oh yeah,
I was like, yeah, double M. No,
when you search Hannah Gillingham, yeah, it comes up, doesn't it? So it's,
yeah,
right.
I was just because I put always up the ad for Instagram. So yeah, but I was like, I was wondering, huh? And then I was checking the website earlier as well. There was only one M. I was like,
Yeah, it's because Hannah Gillingham with one M was already taken. Mm. So that was a shame.
Fair enough.
But we make do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your website and your store?
Website is hannahgillingham.com. Mm-hmm. You can find my website. You can find my online store through my website. Mm-hmm. And yeah, check out my recent Dracula print from More Art Gallery, because that's only got released on Halloween, so just a few days ago. So
exactly, people. Go check it out. There should be some, there will be APs though, Hannah, or?
There will be, yeah.
Okay.
Can't say when they're coming yet, but there will be APs.
So if you might miss out over at Murad, go definitely check for Hannah's drop and all the other greatness. And if you might be able to grab it on Murad, go grab also Sleepy Hollow while you're there.
Yes, definitely.
All right, Hannah, thank you so much for coming on the show. And it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I hope you also had a great time. And we will obviously enjoy your work in the future. And book-wise, we keep you updated. And we'll talk to you all soon, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.